This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. You know, being a teenager is hard enough. There are awkward hormonal changes, increasing academic pressures, and seismic shifts in relationships in and outside the home. But today's teens have an additional challenge that wasn't much of a worry until about the past decade or so. The ubiquitous presence and lure of social media, smartphones, and other advances that allow gossip and rumor to go viral at the touch of a button. Parent Co., a digital publication based in Burlington, explores and offers advice on these topics in a series that looks at how parents and schools too often fail to address the impacts of social media, especially when related to sexting and cyberbullying. Writer Angela Arsenault joins us now via cell phone to talk about her writing and research on this topic. Angela, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me, Mitch. I'm happy to be here.
Now, anyone who's tuned into the news lately knows that teens are facing all kinds of new struggles, and that includes things like cyberbullying. What, though, does cyberbullying really look like these days? You know, why can it resonate so much more than forms of, let's say, taunting that have occurred for really decades in middle and high schools?
Well, I think, as you just mentioned, one of the biggest problems is that it is impossible to escape. If it's happening to you, it's happening all the time. You can't just leave school and kind of leave it behind, gather yourself, and face it the next day.
What are some of the things that you would suggest to a parent when it comes to helping their teen deal with the new realities of social media?
To make an effort to be resilient yourself, if your teen is not at first respondent to having these open conversations, to have them anyway. And to know that your words, even if they aren't being instantly received, they are finding a way in. You know, they're going to leave an impression. And to keep sort of a long-range view about your impact as a parent and know that studies have shown children, kids of both genders, want to be able to rely on their parents for information about this sort of thing.
I think that's a really important point that you touched on, and maybe very encouraging for parents who might be listening to this, because part of the problem here is that around this age, as teenagers, and I know this because I've been through it myself, isn't there a kind of alienation, if not outright resentment, that many teenagers start feeling towards their parents? How can parents feel like they are still relevant at a time when many kids are tuning them out?
Well, before you assume that your child is tuning you out, make sure that you haven't actually tuned your child out to some extent.
What do you mean by that?
Well, as parents, I think a lot of times we're timid about certain subjects. We're scared to ask the really hard questions, especially maybe about sexuality or even bullying, because we're afraid of the answer, or sometimes because no one ever showed us how to have that conversation. Maybe we didn't have that conversation with our parents. I think it's okay to also show that you don't have all the answers. The last thing I would want to do is kind of overwhelm parents with this idea that, like, you need to be completely comfortable with these topics. Let's find out together.
What about the balance also of trying not to do too much for your kid? You know, we've all heard that expression, helicopter mm-hmm. parents. I mean, how much should you be letting your kid find a solution themselves so they can become a more independent adult?
I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, helicopter parenting, I think, is a product of a sincere wish to keep our kids safe. And we just have to make sure as parents that we keep it in check. And that applies here as well because our tendency is to check our kids' phone or check their computer or demand access to their text messages, their Snapchat, but that sending a message to them that you don't trust them and you don't respect their privacy. And I was surprised to find as I did this research that my mind was changed and made me understand that it's important to model for our kids that they have a reasonable expectation of privacy and it builds a stronger trust between parent and child.
I do want to ask about this question of sexting because this is something that those of us of a certain age cannot even fathom from when we were teenagers. And you write about a Drexel University study that found that more than a quarter of teens, 25%, had sent a nude or semi-nude photo of themselves before they were the age of 18. What's most concerning to you about this behavior?
The most concerning thing to me about sexting is that kids often don't even really consider the long-term implications. I might even actually take that back and say that's my second biggest concern. And my first is that parents think this is extremely abnormal or really scary. Again, in researching this series, my mind was changed, as I mentioned in one of the posts, when I found photographs, actual hard copy photographs of myself as a 14-year-old. One picture I'm wearing a bikini, and in another picture I'm wearing, you know, some other kind of scantily clad. And I remembered taking these photos with my friend out of curiosity, true, genuine curiosity.
Yeah, the motivation and curiosity part I understand, but the danger here is not even the motivation on your, let's say, son or daughter's part. It's what happens to that photo after it's sent electronically. It never dies. And the person that you're sending it to can be the irresponsible one, and they can use that, yes, in ways that have terrible ramifications.
Absolutely. And I think there has to be that explanation exactly, that not because, you know, your desire to do this is shameful or you shouldn't want to do this, but because this is not the safest way. Once you hit send, it's entirely out of your control, but that you not necessarily punish your child for that action. It's got to be case by case, because I do take exception with teenagers who pressure other teens to send a sext or coerce. I just think it's important to try to understand the motivation and then understand also that the teen brain, unfortunately, just isn't set up to really comprehend the ramifications.
Finally, Angela, what can schools do better, or should schools have a role in trying to better educate teens about these kinds of pressures?
I think schools are a great place to look for help, but our sex education curriculum has been for a long time largely abstinence-based. We tend to put all the love side of things on girls and the lust side of things on boys. It sends a very unbalanced message. So if there could be kind of a grand overhaul, or even a tiny, you know, district by district overhaul of sexual education in the United States, I think it would be a tremendous place to start.
Angela Arsenault blogs about parents, teens, social media, and more for the Burlington-based digital publication Parent Co. We'll have a link for that on our website at vpr.net. Angela, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Mitch.